Tired of commuting across town for music lessons? Are you sick of crappy YouTube tutorials? Then go to fetchclass.com. www.fetchclass.com. Teach and be taught in a secure video conference one-on-one. Better than Skype and or FaceTime. Included is a scheduling system that reminds you of upcoming lessons. It's great for teachers and students alike. Join now and get learning. www.fetchclass.com. That's www.fetchclass.com. With yearly revenue at $347 billion per year on an e-commerce site, you need a website. You need bot.96.lt, a place to buy and sell anything. There's no need to build a website, it's built for you. Be part of an e-commerce community. If you already have a web store, you can join for free now. Go to bot.96.lt for more details. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the Apolog podcast. Thanks so much for supporting the show, and thanks a lot for telling a friend. You can go to www.apolog.esy.es. Apolog is spelt APOLOGUE.ESY.ES. Please subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please subscribe to that too and rate and review the show. Also, if you shop on Amazon, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of apolog.esy.es and bookmark it. And every time you shop on Amazon, go to that bookmark and you'll be supporting the show. It costs you no extra money, but it really helps me out. Thank you so much and enjoy this show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Apolog podcast. Before we get started, I really need to thank Chris Hanna for coming on this show. It was a huge shot in the arm for this podcast. We actually had the internet got broken. So there was too many people on the site at once and it went down. So we had to retweet to the masses to say, go straight to iTunes and pick up the Apolog podcast from there. And they did. Thanks so much, Chris, for making that happen. That was out of this world. I've never seen anything like that before in my entire life. It was very cool. So who do we have today? Today we have Mr. Spike Slauson. This time it's live in my car. We drove around Toronto before a show at the Bovine a few weeks ago. And we recorded not just a podcast, but three songs. You probably could find a couple of them on YouTube now if you go there and search Uke Hunt, Spike Slauson. He does a couple covers, Xanadu and Alone Again, Naturally. It was so much fun. Spike was a very good sport. We had a good time doing this interview. I think we had a good time. I had a great time. I'd like to thank Mike Hodden for dialing in the knobs and making sure it was still recording while I was driving around Toronto. In the process of driving around, we almost hit a runner, but we didn't. Came very close. And what can I say? Yeah, that's it. So everybody sit back, relax. I give you Mr. Spike Slauson from the band You Cunt. Here we are, in the car.
Hey.
With Spike Slauson from You Cunt.
What's happening?
Don't mind the mics.
That's me.
How do you think the mics are like?
What's that?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right.
You got mics going on here.
Well, it's perfectly ergonomic and, yeah.
Safe.
You know.
We're buckled in. We're going to go for a drive.
Yeah, I'm buckled in.
We're going to play some, we're here with Mikey. Mikey, say hi.
Hello.
We're going to go on a little drive and play some ukulele songs.
Where are we going?
I don't know. Nowhere special.
Through the Kensington Market, maybe? Or you think you're going to get backed up over there?
We could make it that way. Let's head in that direction, see where we go. So you're on tour right now.
Or we could go by that junky row over there. Would that be slumming? Is that like the definition of I don't know. There's something fascinating about that stuff to me. Whenever I'm in Vancouver, I go to Have you ever been to East Hastings?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know. Is it wrong of me to want to do that?
No, because it gives you an idea about what life's really about.
Yeah.
Really,
it's like a world upside down.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's by design. You ever watch The Wire, the American?
Oh, yeah,
Okay, so they had that Hamsterdam thing.
Yeah.
And like both perspectives on it, like neither was wrong, mm-hmm. right? Like there was like, okay, well, it makes perfect sense. And in this kind of, it's almost like this utopian vision of, you know, like if it's going to happen, you keep it confined in this, like, say, square half mile.
And crime rate drops.
The crime rate everywhere else drops.
Yeah.
And if something happens, you know where it probably happened, so it's easier to police.
Yeah.
And it keeps the crime lower in other parts of the city.
Yeah.
But then when you walk through it, it's anything but utopian. Yeah. It's this dystopian...
crazy.
...hellscape.
Did you watch Treme? That's one thing I want to watch. It's the one... what's his name? Did after The Wire.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be a little bit, like, more compelling than it was, but it was good. I think it was, like, a little bit too much of, like... It was a little too musical for me, and yeah. and then the way it and it was ambitious in that regard, in that like watching it was like listening to music. It had that kind of lyrical quality that music does,
yeah.
But and kind of spontaneous sort of quality,
yeah.
But and I loved I forget the guy's name, but the actor from The Wire. I want to say he played like Bunk or and he was in it. And it was really good. And because of that show, I had a couple friends that actually moved because they played some bit roles in the show.
Oh, wow.
And because they fell in love with that neighborhood, they moved into Sixth Ward Treme, and we went to go visit them.
Oh, wow.
And it was really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a different ball game after the flood, like a lot of the same problems that New Orleans had before kind of reemerged after a while, like, you
yet
know,
yeah, there
all
was...
the crime did not go to Houston. It just, like, I mean, well, that was the the rumor anyway, or that I guess was the hope that
Houston's always been rough.
Well, and then it got rougher after Katrina because a lot of people were displaced and moved to the closest big city.
Yeah.
But you get the sense that it's more about it's beefs that have nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
And then it was like the most loped out, like, weightlifting guy with like teardrop tattoos and stuff. Like, that was the guy, or those were the guys that ended up making you feel the most at ease in that neighborhood. Like, almost consciously so, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because there was nothing doing in that neighborhood, and it seemed like, it seemed to me like they looked at it as like a net positive, just anybody being there and walking around and maybe spending some money or
it's
taking
good.
An interest in the community. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I like those southern cities. It's like you can forget some of the divisions that exist in like say, so-called diaspora cities in the Northeast.
Yeah, I suppose if you're there, you're a part of it, and that's what you're experiencing. You're experiencing that life, and I'm sure you going down and witnessing something is better than you witnessing it from the outside, and maybe even, you know, writing a check to an organization. You know, you're actually you're living that lifestyle. You're
and
not
looking
there,
somebody straight in the eyes and like talking to people, and there's something about the southern cities, like, especially the black cities, like when you're in them, it like you're part of this, you're sort of implicitly part of this social compact that, like, if you're here, like, you must not have a problem with it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's just get on with what we need to try to accomplish.
Yeah. So you got your ukulele.
I do.
Did you go out and specifically buy ukuleles to this project, or did you always have one sitting around?
To drive around Toronto with? Yeah, absolutely. I just
is that a backline request when you go to festivals? Like, must have. That's such a specific instrument, isn't it? Like, if you have a specific taste, it's like a violin, you know? Like,
no, someday I'm going to ball like that, where people provide me with ukuleles and a backup band.
Yeah.
No, but like I like traveling with the band that I'm with now.
Yeah,
but we actually, and that's interestingly enough, we had never played with our drummer. He actually drove down from New Jersey. He's not old friend of mine, but, you know,
yeah,
I've known him for a few years now, and he drove the van down and met us in Pittsburgh, which is my old hometown, and we were able to practice at a friend's place and then start the tour, but we had never played together as an entire unit. It was just the three of us, just Doug, Jamin, and I.
Fun fact about Toronto is the water line just stopped right here. See where the water is way down there?
Really?
But they filled it in with like garbage and dirt and all sorts of crazy things.
Sure,
to make a bigger waterfront.
That's what they did in San Francisco.
That's our old fort back there, Fort York. Now we have rock festivals and beer festivals there.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I wasn't there, but.
And then there was the Métis a little bit further east, right?
Like Métis was over, I think, mostly with what's his name? Crap. Now I got to remember.
Louis Riel.
Louis Riel. I saw his gravestone in Winnipeg.
That's really?
Yeah. It's in St.
Why is it
Boniface,
in Winnipeg?
Because that's where he died. Yeah, it's in Manitoba, in St. Boniface, I believe.
Did he die in jail or was he murdered?
I don't know. I think he was actually... I don't know. We'll have to wiki that. Hey, Mike.
No, you don't have to wiki it, and I'll tell you why. Because you can look at this. I mean, you could, obviously, if we wanted the answer right away. But you should. There's this guy from here, actually, or maybe he's from Montreal but lives here, because there are these underground comic artists, or do they call it graphic novels now? but they I want to say it's like a triad of them.
Okay.
And it's Seth. You know the guy that did Palookaville? It continues to do Palookaville.
Not really, but yeah.
There's okay. Joe Matt is also from here, I think. And then this guy, Chester Brown, who I want to say he's from Montreal, and he recently did a book called Paying For It, which is all about his experiences as a John here in Toronto.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
It's got, like, the appendices are almost as thick as the actual book itself, and these like kind of like really emotional like defense of the trade, like the prostitution trade, yeah, and why it should be legal
for
and,
men, you mean, or what, in general,
just in general,
yeah.
And no, he was a John.
Oh, okay,
he actually he like this is all about his experiences with various women, and then he like the emotional bond that he formed with one or two of them that. He claims were just as valid as any other relationship that he's had in his life, even though he was exchanging money, you know? So wow. It's a really interesting,
Yeah, he got something out of it. Yeah.
Indeed. And prior to that, he did a biography of Louis Riel, which is related. Just within the last few years, they reissued it in hardcover.
Okay, yeah.
And it's definitely worth a read.
Yeah, I have to go revisit my grade 9 history, or 9th grade history lessons is where we learned a lot about that. But still, it was a skewed version of what the actual history. And
right.
I played in a band with a guy who took native studies in university.
Uh-huh.
And the story that you learn in your history book versus the actual story told by scholars is a completely different
manifest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Like, insane. You know, and play us a song on that ukulele there, Mr.
Sure.
Bart Lawson.
You got it.
Of U-Cunt.
What shall I play?
What do you got?
I got a few. You know, can I go international?
Let's do it.
Is that a problem?
Are we going to Hawaii?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I mean, that's not really international for me.
Well, okay, that's true.
But, and yet we still use corn syrup with everything. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, what's the point in annexing a place if you can't use its natural resources? And we got to buy Mexican Coca-Cola to get sugar.
There you go.
But first world problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to speak. All right, let's do an Italian song. What do you say to that?
I'm feeling it, yeah.
Are we driving up? Are we close to College Avenue?
No, but we could get up there fast. We could pretend. Let's take Sharia shots on the way up.
All right.
Of that, and then we'll go. Okay.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do
are
it.
We ready?
I'm ready.
Non resto solo con te, io più non mi sento padrone di me. Ti vorrei parlare, ti vorrei baciare, ma ti guardo solo negli occhi
sognando cosa tu mi dici, non so cosa fai di questo mio cuore, non so, ho bisogno sempre di questo mistero, so per te così vivrò.
Thanks a lot.
That's awesome.
That's all right.
You learn Italian too?
Well, that's on account of my wife, Audra, okay. Who actually helped out a lot with the visual presentation of You Cunt as a band and image and an idea and a concept, because the visual presentation is just as every bit as important as the sound presentation, mm-hmm. in my mind at mm-hmm. least.
No, I agree
like
with
the
you.
Shirts and the logos and that's what people see when you're not there, you know?
Do you, we're thinking about this and thinking about kind of where we came up from in the 90s and how everything was, and do you feel there was a heightened sense of irony in the 90s? Like where a little bit of jokingly tongue-in-cheek sarcasm, this is sort of what I felt that, you know, first me first and the gimme gimmies, obviously,
sure.
You know, and then, and to be serious about it to the point of Kaufman-esque serious, like,
right,
you know,
like you'll get beat up, like you might get a black eye or a missing tooth from
you'd be
it.
That serious about it, you know, and I felt,
or
know,
like Chevy Chase in the 70s, like that guy's pratfalls, like, you know,
yeah,
I'm sure he sprained something.
yeah. So I mean, do you feel like that there is a need to keep like a little bit of joking aside? And
I do, but then I actually came from the you know, I mean, I'm 45, and I guess I started going to see shows in Pittsburgh at a relatively early age, mm-hmm. and so there and other places where you were kind of putting at least your safety in your hands,
yeah.
by dressing and looking and being a certain way,
yeah.
Like there was this kind of like desperation to get your idea across to people in that setting. Like once you're around your people, there was this real kind of tribal quality to it, which branched out into some kind of, you know, unpleasant, like wrong-headed things too, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then in the 90s, certainly the irony and the, you know.
Like political correctness is like a lot, sort of almost like a pushback to that. Like
I live in the epicenter of it, and it,
right now,
like yeah, and I'm glad that I think like at least generationally, like people my age have a real horrible tendency towards it, but I think the next generation they're a little bit more frank about things, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like. I don't know. How would you put it? Like, I had an example, but now it escapes me. They just things like ethnic things or
sure.
like a Lenny Bruce approach.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
like
yeah.
if you like If you're constantly offended by it, yeah, like, you're sort of doing more harm than you are good.
Yeah, like All in the Family. Like, the curmudgeon that said, you know, who made racial slurs but didn't really mean it, or was lovable over it.
Then again, he did, like, and that in itself is complicated. And now I'm going to sound politically correct, because that show in particular, that there was this kind of issue about, like, the wrong kinds of fans. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like
All in the Family, at least initially, the people that understood the irony in it, you know, and learned, because they had people like Archie Bunker in their family.
Yeah.
So they couldn't hate this man. Yeah, you know what I mean? And that was the beautiful thing about that show.
Yeah.
But then the show got these Archie Bunker fans.
Yeah.
The longer the show went on, and that was, like, I think not what the creators had intended.
Yeah.
I think, oh, there we are. Here we are in that, and this is gentrifying too now?
Oh, definitely, yeah. What's around here? What's that? The place down here, the Drake. The Drake's close by here, right, Mikey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where the titty bar was, and like.
No, this is the very, that's the exact opposite end of Toronto.
Oh, okay.
We're very west. Well, we're west end. And this was definitely like Street Lights Out and Dangerous, or in the sort of early 90s, I would say.
It felt like to me when I first started coming here that when you got to that sort of pita pit that we were talking about earlier, just past the cathedral.
Got a little sketchy.
And then you went under that underpass, that, well, not sketchy, just lower rent.
That's the underpass here that I think you're talking about.
So we're not too far from where that was. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, sketchy is kind of relative.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but I grew up in Pittsburgh.
It's Canadian sketchy.
And I live I wouldn't go to Skid Row in Los Angeles, for example, but I would go to East Hastings in Vancouver.
Of course.
And not feel terribly menaced until we got down, like, towards, like, we walked down Cordova Street and we got to that Tent City Park. That was a little bit scary, but more like, I'm going to get a flesh-eating disease kind of scary. Like, and who has junky street bazaars, man? I thought it was a flea market, and then we got, like a few, like, vendors' tents into it before we realized, like, no, this is, like, and people were selling, like, individual Bic lighters and, like, Allen wrenches.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Days.
But, like, one Allen wrench, like Tampaxes.
Industry.
Yeah.
Junkie industry.
Yeah, that's but it was crazy, like an ant farm. You know what I mean? Like just like a hub of activity.
Yeah.
And then I thought, like, this must just be the junkie side.
Yeah.
And no, as it turned out, it was all enclosed by these vendors' tents.
Yeah.
It was all just that.
Definitely, yes.
And so we turned around and left.
Look at that nice little artwork up there. It looks like Sneaky D's used to look like. You won't see that, people listening in.
I want to say I've been to Sneaky D's.
Yeah, Sneaky D's got this... we were there the other day, and you could jump up and down, the whole building would shake. It's fucking weird there now.
Whoa, really?
What's this guy doing? Okay.
I don't know.
Let's hear another song. Oh, they're wasted. Those guys are drunk, driving around on their bikes.
A lot of day drinkers in Toronto.
What are we at? What day are we on? It shouldn't really be that bad, really.
I mean, it's Anglo culture, just like just like we got down there.
Yeah. Well,
there's some nice houses around here.
This is okay around here. This also
Toronto's not like generally speaking, in a traditional sense,
it's
maybe not the prettiest city in the world.
No.
But I love row houses.
Yeah,
like I love the kitschy appeal to this era of urban architecture.
There's more kept row houses up on Bloor, where a friend of mine lives, and he lives in a traditional row house that's like, you can almost touch both walls from the inside, like that skinny, but it goes like 30 feet long.
Do they call it, and I don't mean to give offense here, do they call it Dago siding here the way they do in my hometown of Pittsburgh?
I've never heard that ever.
You never heard that?
No.
I mean, it's that garish kind of like, you know, like the 50s or 60s winter siding that they put on the houses like... And you get some nasty winters up
this
here,
place,
right?
This place, when he took it apart, when he took it apart, it didn't have any insulation in it. Like, not one bit. It was brick.
Sneaky D's now.
No, the row house that he lived in.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hear another song.
You got it.
Where are we going now?
Xanadu.
Xanadu by Rush?
No, by Jeff Lynne and performed by Olivia Newton-John.
Love it.
I want to say that was like Gene Kelly's last movie.
That was a great movie.
Had the dubious honor of being Gene Kelly.
Olivia Newton-John sang that, right?
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
And then ELO sang it too. Like that. I don't like that version quite as much.
Oh yeah. ELO just found out that Jeff Lynne was the creator of all of that stuff except for the strings. He played the drums, the bass, guitars.
Really?
He produced it, recorded it.
And he was in Move. Yeah. With the guy that, or The Move, with the guy that eventually became the
original,
Wizard.
Yeah, the original version Wizard. Of Do Ya was from that band.
Yeah, right? Do Ya and California Man.
Okay.
The original version of California Man, which is a great song.
Yeah.
But I think Cheap Trick did it better, I hate to say. Didn't like they? A cunty bike shop. Yeah.
Bikes on wheels.
Cunty bike shop, craft beer store, reclaimed wood coffee house. And they always roast the coffee wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. It's like burnt light roast bullshit. Like, said, that's San Francisco in a nutshell, and they're convinced they're doing it right.
Because they bought it from a guy who sold it in a field. That's what makes it right? That's how that works, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. No, they roast it there. They roast it on the premises, and they're convinced that they're doing it right, and then so is the line of people that exponentially grows. It's like this self-fulfilling line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then more people keep standing in it. What are we standing in? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's so...
This is what we call up... This area is called Little Portugal.
Okay.
This area here. One full block down from college, which is Little Italy.
Yeah.
And Little Portugal, down like FIFA World Cup times. It gets nuts down here, man. Like parades.
Oh, sure.
And for Brazil and impromptu. Like just, whoa, what's happening? It's a parade. I used to have a recording studio just on the left over here. And it was like every 4 years, it was just like shut down shop, man. It's party time.
But has it still like kept a lot of its cultural?
I don't know. I drove
integrity.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe not. I don't know. I can't really make a gauge on it compared to when I did live down here like 10, 15 years ago. I definitely knew that it was like very proud. Like you know, you look at a place like that. It's very like you know, who puts pillars out in front of their house? Like nobody really. You know, like that. So this place, Little Portugal around here. Xanadu by.
By Olivia Newton-John.
Do you want to do some background vocals? Would you mind if we hum?
No, not at all. Okay. Like, now we are here?
Yeah. Now we are here.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. A place where nobody dared to go. The love that we came to know. They call it Xanadu. And now, open your eyes and see what we have made is real. We are in Xanadu. Ooh. A million lights are dancing, and there you are, a shooting star. An everlasting world, and you're here with me eternally. Xanadu, Xanadu,
now we are here
in Xanadu. Xanadu, Xanadu,
now we are here
in Xanadu. Xanadu, your neon lights will shine for you, Xanadu. The love, the echoes of long ago, you needed the world to know, they are in Xanadu. Ooh. The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears, it came to Xanadu. Dancing, and there you are, a shooting star, an everlasting world, and you're here with me eternally. Xanadu, Xanadu, in Xanadu.
your dear in Xanadu. Now that I'm here, now that you're near in Xanadu, Xanadu. Ooh. Yay, us. Now we are in Little, we are in Little Italy now. Here we are.
A song too late.
I know.
But that's all right.
Now
this is
here.
College Avenue. Is
this
that
is
the
college? It's the big rock club here, owned by a singer from this band called Platinum Blonde, an 80s rock.
I remember Platinum Blonde.
Yeah, he owns this place, the Mod Club.
Surely.
Which is the only real European style club with like real backstage and real sound system, and they treat you like, you know, like a human.
And there's a Sicilian side. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not really a North American specialty, is it?
We're more like a London, England-ish type of, here's your bag of crisps and your £5. This Toronto is like that.
And you're lucky.
Yeah. I wonder what would happen is if someone actually said to the government or somebody or anybody and said, we want to see what happens if we put a lot of money into live music. What do you think would happen? Would it get wasted? Would we wreck it?
No, I mean, the Hives are a good band, and Sweden does that. I mean, Turbo Negro were a pretty good band for a couple records, I think.
We have, like, government grants for making records and things, but...
And protectionism. Yeah. Well, for a long time you had that because, I mean, there was any common thread to the narrative that Americans experienced at your border, it was that... Like, they didn't want you here.
Yeah, we're trying... The Americans are up to steal our women and our culture.
Right, or...
Not in
or
that
to,
order.
Well, not to steal the culture, but to sort of, like...
Make money off of it.
To make money off of the, you know... From music fans, when you know, there are perfectly good Canadian bands, which is...
Yeah.
Certainly true, but there's also, I mean, you know, there are some great...
Yeah, I think
American bands, there's rock and roll fire down there, you know?
I think they're trying to alleviate the Canadian content rule in Canada right now. I think there's things in the making of possibly dropping that. I think we're okay. Like, we have things, there's infrastructure to keep our quote-unquote culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we spoke about this on the previous part of the recording before we got so rudely cut off by the internet. But,
Yes.
That. All I heard was... And then it went dark.
Yeah. Is that what we were getting into?
Yeah. We were getting into things like Canadian content rules and things. Unless I'm thinking of a different one. But
No. I think you're right. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I think what's happening now is back in the 60s, all we had is Joni Mitchell and Neil Young. And now that they live in America, both of them, like, ironically enough, speaking of irony, we don't really need to have that built up anymore. A lot of Canadians that live down in America do pretty good to fly that Canadian flag
with
major record label, whatever, if you want to be on a big label. Or you
sure.
And
it's just much more credible to contribute, like any sort of, like, business or creative endeavor, whatever it may be, you have much more credibility when you're doing it without the sort of, like...
Yeah.
I don't like words like nanny state because it sounds a little too Fox News, but you know kind of what I mean.
Yeah,
like you know, without that kind of protectionism.
Sure.
Like, when you're actually competing on the world stage, which is theoretically what we're doing now, and it's always gamed against us, so like, when you're actually heard and appreciated as a Canadian, as an American, as any, you know, then it's, oh, there's Sneaky D's.
There it is, yeah.
I've certainly been there.
Yeah, upstairs, you can jump up and down and the whole building will shake.
Ooh.
Shaky.
Ooh.
Yeah. But there's things about, like, if you go to Europe... And I think my phone's going ballistic.
And people still get rich in Europe.
Yeah, but
like, that's
Europe,
the dirty little secret. People still, like, there's you know, nationalized health insurance and all that kind of stuff. But people still get rich.
Yeah.
And people still, you know, are rewarded for good ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a government hand in your pocket.
Yeah.
You know, but
there's,
like,
no fear of America and Americans in Europe. And if you wear a Canadian flag versus an American flag on your lapel, they get two different reactions, you know, like,
sure.
There's not a lot of...
There's a provincialism,
which
makes, like, people in Amsterdam seem like they're from fucking, like, Des Moines or something that. No, like, really, like, this attitude towards Americans where they think, like, and you sort of reassert, like, you know, I'm from San Francisco or
the most liberal
New York,
of
as the case
towns,
may be, or Los Angeles or something like that, and then they still, like, keep, like... needling you as like a flag waving imperialist, like you're starting to sound like and it's always Amsterdam.
The first
you know what I mean?
First time I ever went to Australia, I mentioned like I would love to come back here. I was on tour with SNFU, a bunch of Canadians, and the Australian guy goes, "Yeah, we'd love to have you back. We love American bands." So there's no like understanding the difference between Canadian and American. They just see us all as American.
Sure.
That's interesting.
And interestingly enough, and it's when you hear, say, a South American or especially a Mexican who shares our contiguous landmass without locks or canals in between, you know what I mean? Or from South America, describing themselves as Americans, like they're correct.
Yeah.
So in a very general sense, that's you know that we're all Americans.
Yeah.
We're all New World cousins, just from different fathers. You know.
This is true. This is true. Alma Combo. Ever played the Alma Combo?
No.
It's right here on the. Oh fuck you, dude! Pink shirt.
Yeah. Entitled Bicyclists. Fuck, we get a lot of those in San Francisco and pedestrians too.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
they feel as though like
I almost hit one on this podcast, by the way.
I saw that during Xanadu.
It was really close.
It was very close.
Talk
she
about irony.
Okay, she laughed. No, she
did
didn't.
She?
No, she's pissed. I'm just saying that because I'm lying. Oh, Alma Combo back there. This is where you can.
No, I've never played the Alma Combo.
Oh,
are we near the Kensington Market now?
Yeah, actually,
it's just
Kensington's
to our
right. Back there. Yeah. I don't know if we can.
Is this Dundas? Is that
no? Spadina.
Spadina. That's right.
That's our big space needle over there.
I'm familiar.
You've been up it?
No, never up there. Never.
They got a glass floor you can stand on and look below.
That's a big movie city here, too, is it not?
Well, not as much now that there's been lots of sanctions towards states like New York State has been given a lot of tax-free credits to movie shoots, and
which
a lot of it left
smart.
Canada, which is smart, and Florida in particular has done a lot of it. I don't know what
Pittsburgh
California.
was really dumb about that, and that's why that Land of the Dead movie, which is a little too fetishistically gory for me,
because
being from Pittsburgh, I'm a huge Romero fan.
But
like all of the prior Dead movies, what a great sign, that Fo-Hung sign. all of those movies had been filmed in Pittsburgh. So that was like their natural home. Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead was filmed in the Monroeville Mall, where I went as a kid to go shopping.
Well, there's like even Breaking Bad is New Mexico gave out so much tax credits to have it filmed there. They rallied to have it happen, and that seemed to be the cheapest place to do it. And I mean, it's obviously they built the show around that. But to think how cheap it is to go to New Mexico and you know, you want to park there? Sure, no problem. Like in Toronto, it was getting really disturbing and disgusting where they take whole streets up. And you're like, wait a minute, how the hell am I going to get where I need to go? You know, so the permits that they were selling, you know, in Vancouver the same way. Like Vancouver made a great San Francisco. Because it kind of, you know, in a way you look in the alleys.
At one point it made a Brooklyn in a Jackie Chan movie.
Yeah, all the Fringe episodes of Fringe were filmed in Vancouver. The first episode was filmed here in Toronto.
Toronto was Pittsburgh, I want to say, at one point, too, in that gay...
Toronto was like, Resident Evil. It was Raccoon City. The one where they're all jumping off that bridge. There's a suicide prevention bridge just to our left over that way. That they put, it looks like Armageddon where people are trying to get... And they just took like a CGI'd a gate in the middle of the bridge. And that's what the Raccoon City and Resident Evil. Second one, I think. Second or third.
Well, Pittsburgh has this amazing... Like, it's a really photogenic city. It's just a very pretty...
What's that part... I've been so long since I've been there. There's a part that sort of you go up. Doesn't seem to be in the core. It almost seems like its own little area. You go up a hill and sort of it seems to be away from where the downtown core
is. Oh, Mount Washington that you can see downtown
from? So, yeah.
That you catch the funicular train, the incline.
There was a club there that I went there and did a radio show with the Sum 41 band, and it was nice. Everybody's cool. And
was it the Rex Theater, or was it the...
We did something there. It might have
or
been.
Or was it the Strip... No, it wasn't the Strip District.
No. It seemed very trendy at the time.
And when was this?
2001. And then we went and did one downtown with the Boston's and Sum 41. That was like the next year or whatever. That was right downtown.
Right.
I want to say that's the place that you said it was, that theater or whatever.
No, the Rex Theater was on the south side.
South side? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't know where that would have been.
I want to say it was north of the city, this spot, that first spot we went to.
Millvale?
Maybe. I don't know.
Mr. Roboto? I don't know if that was still there. I don't know if that was there at that time.
That name sounds familiar. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that, but...
Pittsburgh. It's a, you know,
it's a
all
very
roads
working lead. Class city, man.
Not anymore.
No, I know.
No, not anymore. It's like, now it's creative. It's all like, you know, these kind of...
You know what it
rarefied,
is?
Rarefied, precious, you know...
I know why.
White, mustachioed...
There's
See
no,
you next Tuesdays.
There's no blue-collar rock songs anymore, like there used to be. Like
no, and I hated Bruce Springsteen because of how much I got beat up by those kids. You know what I mean? And it's hard for you to understand when you're getting beat up by those kids, like how much more miserable their lives were than they were making yours.
Like Bon Jovi, like Tom used to work on the dock. Like how blue collar can you get?
Well, but Bruce Springsteen, that was actual. Like I mean, Bon Jovi was entertainment for them.
Yeah.
But Bruce Springsteen was poetry.
It was like,
he spoke for people that didn't have a voice. So even if I don't necessarily love his music. Like, I have to appreciate what it meant to people.
And he didn't understand one when he counted in songs. It was always 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. That's how I do it.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe it's because of Bruce Springsteen. He started that stuff.
That's true. Got another song?
I do.
Our trip is almost over.
I'm going to stay on the international tip. I'm hoping I'm going to visualize and then try to actualize at some point in the future an international record of multilingual hits. Spanish, Italian, German, maybe even Portuguese, although I'm sure that's going to sound...
Well, that is Portuguese is where the ukulele came from, right?
I think you may be right. Yeah. That was adopted to suit, I don't know. But the Portuguese brought it to Hawaii. And the
steel guitar was also from... the pedal steel came from Hawaii. I always find that funny that's on all of your country songs is the pedal steel.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then, and how xenophobic they seem. You know what I mean? But then again, you meet a lot of people. I just spent some time with my relatives in Lansing, Michigan, and they're anything but. You know what I mean? So you can't always judge a book by its cover.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, I would like to do a record of international hits in the many different languages, including English, but German, Italian, we were never able to do that with the Gimmies. I think we tried, and it just never materialized. Everybody got involved with the different projects. Lagwagon are in the middle of finishing a touring cycle at the moment, and Mike is working on a musical.
Yeah, that's out, right? Like, so it's gone.
Yeah,
it's
we went to go see it in San Francisco. Yeah. It was something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
cool.
Yeah, it's definitely a peek into a world that I do not, you know.
Yeah.
That
definitely.
which to me is kind of that's why you're paying the price of admission or why you're buying a record.
Yeah.
In any, it just is to enter a different world. Than your own, and then to. And maybe to roll a joint on it. You know, that's why to buy vinyl, right? Like, that's the... Am I right?
It's big enough. You can
anybody,
move around
somebody?
With it. Yeah.
I guess the gatefolds especially.
Yeah.
You know? So. But this one, I think the... Let's see. It's a Spanish song. Oh, hold on. Can we edit it? Hoy viviendo ya de tus mentiras, sé que tu cariño no es sincero, sé que mientes al besar y mientes al decir te quiero. Me resigno porque sé
que pago mi maldad de ayer. Siempre fui llevado por la mala. Es por eso que te quiero tanto. Oh man, god damn it.
I gotta start it all over again.
We'll
I'm sorry,
the
guys.
Block. It's all right.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, I did this that very same day that I was doing this. I may want to pick a different song because I was doing it for that Las Vegas show, which they're probably gonna because it's the internet and it's not Canadian.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It would be easily accessible, and I want to make this somewhat exclusive, right? That would
sure.
be nice. No.
Yeah.
What about Alone Again Naturally by Gilbert O'Sullivan?
Okay.
I don't have to go international.
No, you
know
don't.
What I mean? Right?
Am it's I got
right?
O in it. It could be Scottish.
It's
could
Irish.
Be Irish.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go know? To Ireland, everybody.
In a little while from now, if I'm not feeling any less sour, I promise myself to treat myself and visit a nearby tower. And climbing to the top will throw myself off in an effort to be clear to whomever one it's like when your shots are left standing in the lurch by a church where people sing, my God, that stuff, she stood them up. No point in us remaining, we may as well go home. As I did on my own, alone again, naturally. To think that only yesterday I was cheerful, bright, and gay, and looking forward to, but who wouldn't do, the role I was about to play. But as if to knock me down, reality came around, and without so much as a mere touch, cut me into little pieces, leaving me to doubt. Talk about God in His mercy, but if He really does exist, why did He desert me in my hour of need? I surely am indeed alone again, naturally. It seems to me that there are more hearts broken in the world that can't be mended, left unattended. What do we do? What do we do? Naturally, alone again, naturally.
Nice. Thank you so much for coming in my car.
Thanks for having me,
Podcast
Simon.
Podcast in a car. Nice to meet you in person.
Very nice to meet you, too.
Yeah.
It's better. It's more like more terra firma than Skype. You always feel like kind of, you know.
It's that delay. It's the delay.
You know? Latency, I believe they call it.
Latency. You know, when you try to get a flow going in a conversation, it's difficult if you have bad internet. Because,
right.
Because.
You're always interrupting one another and
waiting.
Then stopping and. Nope.
You're waiting.
Sorry.
Oh, your turn.
Okay.
Keep going.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
And then, like, you know. Because you're Canadian, you're as deferential as I am. You know what I mean? Or at least as I like to imagine that I am.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so maybe I'm not in real life. You know, maybe you should talk to my wife or my friends.
Yeah, why not?
You know,
to get a full vibe.
Yeah.
Did I tell you this is a whole documentary now in Spike's Lawson?
This is your life.
This is your life. Welcome.
In all of its splendor.
Yeah, so keep it rolling until we get stopped there, Mikey. Yeah. And then what we'll do is drop
you off.
It is
splendid for us. I get to drive around and play the ukulele.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you came.
And look at gentrification. Go forth and gentrify, Torontans.
Yeah.
Ontarians.
Does not give a fuck. She's no, like, fuck you and your green light.
That's right.
Yeah. We're not as bad as I wanted. Well, you know what? I was driving up today, and I'm kind of in... I'm a country kid now. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving around going, ah, fuck, fuck, fuck. I hate this place. Why? You know? Yeah, I couldn't find parking, and it was just brutal.
Yeah, and then it just... Like, you had to earn... what these people get to buy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in a place like Pittsburgh or San Francisco, like people that live in the Mission that have lived there for a long time or that used to live there and got displaced.
Yeah.
Say, for example, Latinos, like La Mission, you know what I mean? Like the name itself, I mean, although it was populated by Irish people.
Sure, yeah.
Prior to that.
Yeah.
As long as I've been there, and for much longer than that, it was a Latino neighborhood, and now they're all displaced. So, like, it does make you kind of angry to think, like, these people just get to do it because, like, they get to buy it.
Yeah.
And how do they make their money? It would seem, like, when you're passing those, like, those, you know, floor-to-ceiling windows and watching them work, they just take their shoes up and put their feet up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and just, like, stare at computer screens.
Yeah.
And then they get to buy... everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. They just take it.
A minimum wage is still minimum wage, whether you're working in Toronto or out in the country in a farm. You know, the only difference is when you, if you live out in the country, you have to buy a car to get around. Here, you can just walk around and be a bum, you know?
Sure.
You
know? And then you have the amenities and the access.
Sure.
And then, like, when everybody complains about rents in these places, I mean, they are exorbitant.
Yeah.
But... you know, and then in New York City, you live in a shoebox, and you have to, like, have two bartending jobs, a job as a waiter, and you have to deal coke on the side to make ends meet to live in this shoebox. But Manhattan is your living room.
Oh,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean?
Yeah,
or Brooklyn, if
greatest
if you,
city in the
if
world.
You, if that's what you
New
go
York,
for that.
New York City.
The capital of the world, baby.
That's right, baby.
And we're going there. Yeah. I you know, and I haven't been there for a while, so I'm kind of like, I'm a little nervous about it. Because some
what's
like,
your club? Where are you?
Bowery Electric.
Okay, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, and then there's some real dyed-in-the-wool New York friends of mine that say, like, it's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It was over 15 years ago, and there wasn't a few were at Coney Island High.
Yeah,
and we couldn't
there.
Make any noise until, like, 6 o'clock, and we had to stop by 11. Because all the people moving into that area of town, that's like, they don't like the noise.
There's this great movie. It was about the ABC No Rio. I never made it to the ABC No Rio. It's like the Gilman of the East Coast.
Okay.
And
what was the Wetlands? With the Wetlands?
We played the Wetlands a few times.
I did a Voivod show there, and when they were opening up for fucking Neurosis.
Wow.
Neurosis and Voivod.
Ow! Damn, I know Dave Ed.
Okay, from Neurosis?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, he was one of the first people I met when I came to California.
Okay, yeah,
but,
yeah.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. I don't remember. I cut you off.
No, that's all right. Yeah. That's all right. The Voivod and New York, the ABC No Rio video.
Yeah.
And you see it. You see it in real time, it occurring to this crass hole type dude that's got, like, white dreadlocks and glasses and a tank top and, like, camo, like, cargo shorts. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and he's basically saying, like, and he's standing in front of, like, a bank, like, this glass and steel, like, just, you know, inhuman... facade of a bank or like a real estate office or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's basically occurring to him at that very moment. He's saying, so in retrospect, I guess we were the front lines of this gentrification movement.
You're welcome.
You know, yeah, like it's just like, and then he doesn't get to be there anymore either, you know,
All right.
Obsolescence, man.
So,
planned obsolescence. We'll all get there someday.
That's true, man.
Hopefully later than sooner.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're you know, we get it. You know, you can't become that the people that you don't really like in this world, because that would suck. You know, you don't want to be that person, right? You want to stay the same person you've always been, right?
Yeah, right. There's a bridge just over there. That, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like
suicide's painless. No, but I mean the whole idea of understanding and growing and knowing that, oh, I can. These are the better things in life to be, but still have that thing in your heart that says, this is what I've always done. You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of, you know.
I am me.
I am me. Hear me roar.
Yeah. In all my, the humanity. Right?
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of New Jersey.
Should stop. Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks, Mikey, for doing this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mikey.
There it is. Spikes Lawson of the band You Cunt. Thanks so much for doing the podcast, Spike. It was fun. It's interesting what you can do when you have a couple of mics and a car and a will to get shit done. Last week was a stellar week for everybody. A record, actually. The most amount of downloads per week and the most amount of listens and a lot of positive feedback. And thanks so much for listening to that. Next week, we have Chris and Mike from a band called Ruth Ruth. Be prepared for complete fandom nerd out fest. Ruth Ruth are like one of my favorite bands of all time. Be sure to go to Facebook, like Apologue Podcast on Facebook. Be sure to go to like me on, or friend me, or whatever. They follow me on Twitter, @SimonHead666. So anyways, everybody, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. I'll be here. Bye now.